Thank you for joining us with Strength for the Journey. We're going to have a great program today. We're going to be talking about gratefulness and thankfulness. And before we start, I'd like to mention our website. We have a website called Strength for the Journey. It's spelled strength with a number 4, thejourney.com. And there are approximately 13 articles that are there on the website. I think you'll enjoy the articles. They're challenging articles to really keep us in check on where our walk really is with the Lord today. There's a new button called S4TJ Radio that has these radio programs on there, as well as another a place called Interviews, where there's 3 interviews done by True News, where I've shared my testimony of our family being transplanted from America to Panama, and what an amazing journey it has been. There's a new button on there called Missions, and it is about revival that I believe is coming to Panama. And we are holding a new crusade. Yeah, we held one in March. Approximately 3,500 people came. Many people were healed and saved and set free. And we're going to do another one in November. It'll be at the time of the Independence Day celebrations here in a city called Boquete. And there will be people from all over Panama that will come. And some friends of ours, the one woman, her name is Janet Abraham Clark, and she is a power lifter, and she was the first woman ever to be on the power team. She and her husband are going to come and do some amazing things with a crusade evangelistic outreach during this time of this celebration. There will be many people from all over Panama, and we believe that many people are, when they come to celebrate independence, their Independence Day, they're going to be set free and have a new thing to celebrate, their new independence of being set free from sin and the law of sin and death. So those are some things that are going to be happening here in the next near future. And this radio program is something very exciting, very new, that has just happened here in Panama as well. And so we hope you enjoy the website. There is a Spanish version called Fuerza para el Viaje. There is a link at the bottom of the homepage. It has the articles translated into Spanish on that website. And so if you know Spanish-speaking friends that would enjoy those articles, feel free to forward that website to them. So today we're going to talk about the power of thanksgiving and the power of a grateful heart. Many of us go through bad days, and there's an antidote for the poison of a bad day, and the antidote is thankfulness and having a grateful heart. The enemy tries to inject things in our life every day with things maybe not going the way that we had hoped them to, that maybe things... maybe we don't have what we need or what we want, we feel we need, but maybe it's just more of what we want. And Jesus said that he'll provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And sometimes our needs are confused with our wants, and sometimes our wants are confused with our needs. But Jesus said that he would give us everything that we need. And Paul talked about being content. He said that, not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And that's in Philippians 4:11. And in Titus, 1 Timothy, he says, in 6:8, he says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And in Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, there's something about the lust of our eyes, the lust of our flesh, and the pride of life that is in direct opposition with being thankful. And there's a There's something that happens when we find a place or find something to be thankful for. It just absolutely neutralizes the feeling of being discontent or being bitter, being ungrateful, being unthankful. It just annihilates it. And I remember there's some times in my life when things just really didn't go very well for me. And I remember back when my mother and father were divorced when I was about 16 years old. And I remember there was a neighbor friend of ours that his mother and father were going to a divorce, through a divorce. And even though there were such trials and struggles in my own life that I was going through with this separation of my mother and father, my friend was going through the same thing, but through this struggle that they were going through, his mother committed suicide. And I remember thinking, even though things didn't work out the way that I had hoped them for my life at that age in my life, I thought about, well, my mother's still alive at least. I'm thankful for that. And I found that even though I was going through a very big traumatic time in my life, I just thought about how thankful I was that even though my mother and father weren't together, at least they were alive. And it helped me go through that trial in my life. And I just kind of passed that on to many other trials in my life, that I found something to be thankful for, even in the midst of a very, very traumatic time, or things weren't going my way, I found something to be thankful for. Even like if someone pulls in front of you, you're driving down a busy freeway, and let's say somebody cuts right in front of you and maybe just misses your front bumper. I mean, he's that close. What's the first thing goes through your mind? Shaking your fist, yelling at the guy because he cut in front of you, or you're thankful that he didn't hit your front bumper and cause you to have an accident? I remember times in my life when I was in a busy freeway, and that actually happened to me. And my first thought was being mad, but then I thought, well, no, I'm thankful I'm still alive, because I could have easily got into a car wreck at that moment, and I might not even be there at that moment to be thankful. So I realized there's such a power of thanksgiving and thankfulness that it is literally an antidote for the poison of being bitter. Many people have gone through some very tough times in their life. Maybe they've gone through their own divorce. Maybe they have gone through a death in the family. Maybe there was a car accident that left somebody impaired, or maybe even paralyzed. And there's a lot of reasons to be bitter and unthankful and ungrateful. But I know that in the midst of those trials, to find something to be thankful for, even if there's just one thing, that it just begins to change everything once you can find just one thing to be thankful for. And I want to begin this program with a song. It's called Thank You, and it's done by Hillsong. And I just want the audience just to have a heart of thankfulness and just begin to think about things in your own life that you can be thankful for. Maybe not a whole lot, maybe you feel like at this time, but just find something to be thankful for. And I guarantee you that your day will begin to get better, or your outlook begin to look up and get brighter. The clouds will begin to dissipate, the fog will begin to lift, and the sun will shine through. If you can just find one thing to be thankful for in the midst of a trial. So just begin to think of those things as you listen to this song.
Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid. Thank you for salvation. And thank you
The Bible says in Psalms, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." This is the way we are to come into his presence. We are to come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. And even if it's only one thing, the thanksgiving, if it's in your heart, that is the way he wants us to enter his presence. Because he's done so much for us. He has done so much for us that we don't even know. There are so many days that we've gone through the day, and it's only been his hands of mercy and grace that we made it through the day. You've probably seen footprints in the sand, and we thought that he wasn't with us. As you see only one set of footprints in the sand, he thought that he had left us, but actually during that time that there was only one footprint in the sand, one set of footprints, it was his footprints carrying us that whole time that we thought that he wasn't even with us. in that place that we didn't even understand it. It was His grace and mercy that was carrying us, that we weren't even thankful that He was carrying us because we didn't even know He was there. So there is a place that God wants us to get to, and that is a place that we appreciate everything that He's done for us. And even those things that we don't even know that He's done for us, we should still be appreciative. Even the hard times, the lessons. You know, Paul got to a place that he said he gloried in tribulation. And you think, what kind of guy could ever feel grateful in that place of tribulation and trial? Well, he understood that those trials that he was going through was working out things in his life that he didn't want. Just as the trials of our life are actually those places of testings actually shows us what is inside of us. Because most of us don't even know what's inside of us until those trials come forth. It's like the crucible. When the things that are in the crucible, we don't know what's inside there until it's been heated and all the junk comes up to the surface. You know, just like the gold, the refiner of the gold, they has to heat up the gold in order to make the impurities come to the top so the refiner can scrape off the top surface, all that junk that's on the top. Because what he's looking for is he's looking to see his reflection in the gold or the silver. That when that all that dross is drawn off the gold or off the silver, it leaves just a mirror reflection, and he can see himself. That refiner can see his reflection in that gold or that silver. And that's what God wants us to happen in our life, is that he wants those trials to get out the junk and let us see what's really inside of us, that we can say, Lord, I don't want this stuff in me. Just take it from me because I don't want it. Instead of being bitter about the trial, we ought to be thanking him for the trial, because it's trying to eliminate something in our life that shouldn't be there. And he knows what's in us. We don't. Peter didn't even know what was in him. He thought he was ready to go to his death and with Jesus. But the trial revealed in Peter that he wasn't ready, that there's something still in him that was still left alive, that he still wanted to save his life instead of lose it for the Lord. And sometimes those trials are what that's the only thing that actually allows us to see what's inside of us. And God wants us to know what's inside of us. So we ought to be thankful for the trials. You know, there's so many scriptures in the Psalms that talks about thanksgiving and about the sacrifice. It says, let them that sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Even though you don't understand sometimes what the works are that he's doing in us, we need to always be thankful in the midst of, even in the midst of a trial, because he's still trying to work his will out in our life. But what's struggling many times is that we're struggling our will versus his will, and our ways versus his ways. And that's why when he talked about us being a disciple of his, he said that if any man wants to follow me, he must pick up his cross and follow me. He must lay down his life and follow me, deny himself and follow me, deny his will and follow me. Because as long as we still have a will that's left alive, we're not going to want to go where he wants to take us sometimes. That we don't like sometimes. We don't like the places that he wants us to go. But God's working all these things out for his good. And some of us are so set in our comfort zone that for anything to disturb our comfort zone, we become very agitated. And we don't like our comfort zones being disturbed. That we want everything just to go just the way we want it. And if things don't go that way, we get angry, we get upset. And this happens many times on just a daily basis in our life. Somebody cuts in front of us on the freeway. Somebody says something we don't like. Somebody does something we don't like. It sets us off. And it really is showing that we are still alive, that we're offended. And one of the things the enemy wants to use in each of our lives is offense. And those things happen because we're offended, or we are hurt, or we don't like what they said. And I've heard it said sometimes that a dead man isn't offended. That I've never seen anybody at a funeral, if someone who was doing the proceedings over the funeral said something maybe that was offensive to this man, or maybe something that wasn't very kind about this man's life, I've never seen a man raise up out of the coffin and say, I don't like what you just said. And this is sometimes maybe where we ought to see ourselves, that we should be as dead to ourselves as a man in a coffin, that even if something is said or something's done that we don't like or said about us, that we shouldn't be offended any more than a dead man in a coffin is. And this is where real freedom begins to come into our life, that we are not manipulated by the things around us, by the words that are said about us. Because honestly, when you really totally sell out to the Lord and you tell somebody the truth about Jesus Christ, that many people will be offended. I remember one time that I did something quite bold on a Halloween night. A friend of mine had a cross, because he used to go witnessing with a cross, and he dragged it behind him as he went from city to city. And so one night we got this bright idea that I had a costume that I had dressed up as Jesus for some different skits with a ministry. And so I decided that I would dress up like Jesus and I would carry a cross downtown, right in downtown Dallas, where a lot of people went out and went partying. So everybody's dressed up in their costumes, and here I was going through the streets, dragging a cross behind me, dressed up like Jesus. And I was quite a sight. But the interesting response that I had was, some people were broken by the sight, and some people were offended by the sight. That there was probably a dozen people that stopped me in the streets as I was walking through the streets and said, "Would you pray for me?" And yet there was other people that actually wanted to hit me, and one person actually did take a swing, but the Lord protected me. But it's the response that sometimes people are going to give you when you tell the truth, or you, as I just demonstrated the truth as walking down through the street, some people were broken and humbled, and some people were angry. And it was a condition of a man's heart that set off the response that they gave. And this is the way sometimes we are, is that are we broken and humbled before him? Are we prideful and arrogant and offended many times by what Jesus wants us to do with our life? There are many things that God wants to do and with us and through us, but we are resistant because it's a contradictory to our own will, to our own flesh. And the only way that we're going to ever do his will is if we submit to his will. Jesus said that not everyone that says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father. And, you know, some of us don't even have a clue what God's will is. And so how are we ever going to achieve God's will in our life if we don't want God's will in our life? The only way it's going to happen for us is if we want it and we desire it, because God's will is contrary to our flesh. And many of the things that God asked me to do when I first gave my heart to him, I didn't know it was God's voice until I actually stepped out in faith and obeyed what I felt like was his voice. And the confirmation of his voice was through my obedience, that my act of obedience to what I felt like was his will actually gave me the confirmation that it really was his voice. But it was a submissiveness of me and my will to his will that helped me begin to discern his voice in my life. And gratefulness goes a long ways to tenderizing our hearts. That many of us have gone through some pretty hard things in our life, and we feel very quite justified in being angry or upset or bitter. Maybe somebody said something to us or done something to us, and we feel justified and very much maybe self-justified for our feelings toward the person or toward the situation. I had a grandmother that was given away when she was just a very young girl. She was only 2 years old, and this was about at the turn of the century, the 1900s. And this was a time, a very hard time in this area where she lived. Her father had passed away, unbeknownst to her, because she was such a young girl at this time. But But her mother felt it was in her best interest that she give her to another family to raise, because she could not afford to raise this child, nor her older sister. So she found two different families to take care of these two different girls. And as time went on, and her older sister found out where she lived, and when she was maybe 6 or 7 years old, her sister showed up at the front door, and she said, do you know these people that you're living with aren't really your real mother and father? And she said that her real mother had given her away when she was a young child. And this girl, my grandmother, became so angry and upset at her mother for giving her away that she allowed a seed of bitterness and resentfulness and unforgiveness to enter her heart. And she began to grow up as a child being very bitter toward her mother for giving her away. Instead of being thankful that her mother found her a home of somebody who could take care of her, she became very bitter because her mother had given her away. And as I grew up, knowing this woman, my mother's mother, the Lord just gave me just a tenderness toward her as I grew up. And my mother asked me one time, or I asked her who this woman was, and she said that's my own mommy. So I developed a term of endearment. I called her own mommy. And every summer I would go out and see her if I ever went out to California where she lived. And then I got saved, and I began to tell her about Jesus and how Jesus had changed my life. And I realized that many times when I went to visit her, she would tell me the same stories over and over again of how people had done her wrong and treated her wrong. And it was like all she had was bitter memories of her life, that she could not even remember the good things in her life, that she had lost any feeling of gratefulness or thankfulness in her life just because of the seed that she allowed to enter her heart when she was just a young girl. And I remember one night I was getting ready to go I was in California. I was there at a healing crusade, and I was getting ready to hop on a bus to go back home. And I went by to her house to see her before I left. And I remember she was getting ready to go to bed, and I began to talk to her about forgiveness, and that Jesus said that unless you forgive others, I cannot forgive you, and how important it was for all of us to forgive those that have done us wrong. And as I was beginning to talk to her about this, she was somewhat open to forgiving the people that had hurt her. So I led her in a prayer, and after I led her in a prayer, the Lord prompted me to have her pray and forgive her mother also. And when I mentioned her mother, she said, I can never forgive my mother. And I said, you have to forgive your mother, because if you can't forgive everyone of their trespasses that you've had have caught that come against you, God can't forgive you. And so I said, just follow me in this prayer. And I led her in a prayer to forgive her mother. And as I did, as she said the words, I forgive my mother, she began to cry uncontrollably, just weeping and weeping and weeping. And when she got done crying, she looked up, and she literally had a face of an angel. Her whole countenance had changed. This hardness inside of her was just gone. And she just had this joy, and was all over her face. And she kind of stopped, and she said, I told myself I'd never cry again. But yet what happened when she said the words, I forgive my mother, something like a dam just broke, and all this bitterness just poured out of her, and she just looked like a different person. And I led her in a prayer of salvation at that time, and I remember after I went to see her again, she didn't even look like the same woman. She was her whole countenance had changed, that all this bitterness inside of her just was released from her just because of her releasing those people that had done her wrong. And this is what happens many times when we hold things in, that we're not thankful for situations in our life, that we don't understand why things have happened to us. And instead of just saying, Lord, I don't understand why this happened to me. Why did this situation take place in my life? I don't understand. If we just stop a moment and just say, Lord, I don't understand, but help me understand. I'm thankful for what's going on in my life right now, but help me understand. Sometimes we make a judgment. And the Bible says in 1st or 2nd Peter, I don't recall now, but it says that for us not to judge what we don't understand. Judge not what you don't understand. And this is a place that we get to sometimes when we begin to try to make a determination of why things happened the way they did, but we don't understand. And God wants us just to put things in His hands, because He is in charge of the universe, not us. And sometimes when we make a judgment, we make a decision, we try to actually supersede His position as being judge and being God. And we determine for ourselves what we think is right or wrong, and what should be done and what shouldn't be done. But a feeling of gratefulness and a thankfulness in our life, just as an antidote, just as it was for my grandmother, that the forgiveness was the antidote for bitterness and unforgiveness, and thankfulness will do the same thing in our life. I want to play another song right now, and I just want you just be thankful, be grateful. If there's people in your life that have done you wrong, just release them, just forgive them, and say, Lord, just as you have forgiven me, I forgive them. With the same forgiveness that you have forgiven me of all the things that I have done wrong and offended other people, I just want that same forgiveness just to cover me and just be showered upon me. I need your forgiveness. I forgive others. I release others. And I'm thankful for your forgiveness.
Here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. And I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been come rising up. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, one scarred hand to the other. I know you've washed me white, turned my darkness into light. I need your peace to get me through, to get me through this night. I can't live by what I feel, but by the truth you were revealed. I'm not holding on to you, but you're holding on to me.
Was a song by Casting Crowns called East to West. Just realizing how far the East is from the West, it's a long ways, and that's how far that He's forgiven us. That's how far that He's thrown those things that we've done, the forgiveness that He's given us, throwing them into the sea of forgetfulness, that never to be remembered again. And that's the kind of forgiveness we need to offer other people. We need to forgive and forget. We need to let the past be the past. Let the future be the future. There's an interesting definition of love that's in 1 Corinthians. And it says that love has no remembrance of ill wills, and that it literally does not even think about. It doesn't hold a grudge. It just, there's so many things that just shows that love has forgiveness that's attached to it. And when we truly say that we love somebody, there's forgiveness that goes with that love, that we don't remember those things of the past, that we're willing to forget, and we're really ready to move on. And many people in marriages today, they've suffered some things that they feel like there's things that just are unforgivable. But there's no future without any forgiveness, and relationships need to offer forgiveness so that we can all move on. And that literally, when we don't forgive, that we attempt to hold somebody in a cage, but it's ourselves that's in the cage. You know, some interesting things happened to me when I first got saved, but one thing the Lord spoke to me very clearly was that if I wanted to go with Him, I had to leave my past behind me. And He said, the way you leave your past behind you is there's a spiritual pair of scissors called forgiveness. And if you'll reach around and cut all the people that have ever done you wrong, cut them free, you'll be free to go with Me. And I realized that there was a bondage that I was in if I was not willing to forgive people that had hurt me and done me wrong, that I needed to release them. But in doing so, by releasing them, I actually released myself to go with Him where He wanted me to go. But literally, it would be like a ball and chain dragging with me the rest of my life. And I thought about the example of my grandmother, of how many things that she was dragging in her past, that even all the best of memories of her life were forgotten, because all she could remember is the things that had happened in her life that was hurtful. Just she wanted to hold that grudge so she could justify her hurt and her pain. But once she released it, when she forgave her mother especially, all that pain was drained from her. And God has a future for each one of us. And if we're not willing to let go of the past, we'll have to live in the past. And it's not a pleasant place to live, especially if there's hard memories and things that we'd like to forgive or forget. And the only key to our lock of our past is to forgive people. And we'll find that when we're thankful for what God has done for us, it's easy to forgive the people that have done us wrong because of what God has forgiven us. He's cast those things from as far as the east is from the west, in distance, and they've been cast in the sea of forgetfulness. So have a grateful heart. Have a place of thanksgiving in your heart, and God will do amazing things in each one of your lives. I had an interesting thing that happened to me today that I was on my way to grab a bite to eat for some lunch, and I was going to a little small restaurant next to the church. And as I began to walk to the church, I heard the Lord begin to share some things with me. And what he said was, he said, "You're not here for your own purposes. You're here for my purposes. You were delivered to fulfill my purpose for your life and not your own." And he kind of asked me a question, "Did you create yourself?" Of course you didn't. So the answer is no. He said, "Well, just as you didn't create yourself, neither did you deliver yourself." And I was just listening to him as he's beginning to show me some things, and I didn't really know what all he wanted to say. But I went back to my car and got a pen and paper, my little notebook I keep my journal in. And so as I began to eat my lunch, he began to share some things, and he brought the 10 lepers into the story as he began to share some things with me. And I want to read this story here out of Luke. It's out of Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it says, "As it came to pass, as he went through Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger?' Only the Samaritan returned to thank God, to thank Jesus for what he had done." And I think, goodness gracious, there's 10 people, but 9 of them walked the other way. And as I was listening to this, the Lord began to speak to me about the 10 lepers, and I read this again in Luke. I thought of a song that I'd heard years ago, and I'm going to play this song here for you. It's called "Where Are the Other 9?" And I'll share the rest of what he shared with me after the song.
The room was long. Clean and purified.
Where are the other nine? The evidence of a man's ungratefulness is his desire to live for himself after he's been made free. Only 1 out of 10 lepers fulfilled their destiny after their deliverance for the destined destruction of their body. Leprosy is absolutely a horrible disease that just people lose their fingers. It's just absolutely just destructive on a person's body. 90% of the people that were healed went on to live for themselves. They just kept walking. They just kept going. Only one returned to his deliverer to live for him. Only one came back to show his gratefulness. In fact, he was so grateful, he actually cried out with a loud voice, giving thanks. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. And he was just a Samaritan. The Galileans, they just kept going. They didn't even come back to even say thank you. 90% of the lepers saw the opportunity to live a life for themselves that they were never able to before. Only 10% saw the opportunity to live a life for his maker that they never were before. The pride of life was demonstrated by the 90% by the fact that they didn't want to return to stand before their maker for fear of the accountability that would occur if they did. Every man knows in his heart that only the Creator could reverse an irreversible disease like leprosy. All 10 knew in their heart that only God himself could, in one moment of time as he did, reverse the degeneration of their bodies, which included missing fingers, possibly toes, ears, and even their nose. The evidence of who healed their body was as evident as the new nose on their face. Has God revealed himself to each of you and made himself evident as the nose on your own face? He has given you the slightest or has he given you even the slightest evidence of his reality to you? If he hasn't, that you know of, would you like him to? We are all accountable to him whether or not he performs a mighty miracle for us as he did the 10 lepers. The big question is for all of us is if God did do a big miracle in our lives, how would it change our life? Would we return to him in gratefulness and humility to find out the reason he delivered us from our infirmity and affliction? You know, I have traveled so many different places all over the world, and I've seen so many mighty miracles that God has performed for people's lives. The question is, what happened after we left? What happened after they were healed of some incurable disease? I know that when God did a mighty miracle in my life, he actually healed a friend of mine. I took him to a meeting in Detroit, Michigan, and he did an amazing thing for my friend and healed him of three really big miracles. He had torn ligaments in his elbow. He had stomach ulcers. He had real bad bleeding hemorrhoids, and he was completely healed of all three of those things. And that miracle changed my life. And the question is, what has God done for us? What has he done for us and revealed himself to us? Because I was asking God at that time, I said, God, if you're real, show me a sign. And he did. And that absolutely, totally changed my life. So the question is, would we surrender our heart and our lives to him in demonstration of our brokenness and thanksgiving, realizing that we did nothing to deserve such a demonstration of his love, mercy, and grace? Or would we continue our lives misusing the opportunity and allow pride to manifest by continuing to live and do as we please? When I realized that God did love me, I realized that he had a plan for my life and that I wanted to fulfill that plan. That was my heart's cry. I wanted to know who this one was that healed my friend. Who is this one that spoke words to me to change lanes when I was driving down the highway and an 18-wheeler would have run right over me if I had not changed lanes? Who was this one that healed the nine that kept going, that kept walking the other direction? So the question is now, are we amongst the 10% or the 90%? The broad way is wide enough to handle the traffic for the 90%, but the narrow way is only narrow enough to handle the 10%. only 10 went out, or only 10% went out of their way to return to their maker. So when we look back in our lives and we really examine what God has done for us, is it possible to see the miraculous hand of God on our life? Is there not sufficient evidence for all of us to return to our maker? He will give sufficient evidence to any man who truly hungers to know God's reality and to know him, their maker. That's why God made us. That's why the maker made us, is to know him. John 6:37 says, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will no wise cast out." And in James 4:8 it says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." The key, though, is to come to him in humility and brokenness. The pride of the prideful won't allow them to return to Jesus, no matter how great the miracle. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:6, "To humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." The truth is, he wants to heal all of us. He wants to restore all of us. He's waiting on us. Are we waiting? What are we waiting for, really, is the question. God wants us to come to him in brokenness and humility. He wants us, just as the leper that came back, to fall at his feet and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing what you've done for me. Thank you, because I shouldn't even be alive right now to even take the breath that I just took. But it's your miraculous hand that has delivered me, that has saved me, that has revealed yourself to me." You know, I know many people that I went to school with back many years ago that are no longer here right now. And I think back of, looking back of things that I know of their life, that I know only God's hand saved them from death many years prior. And I know a man even that came to my Bible study, and I know that he had some struggles in his life, and he became addicted on antidepressants. And I heard not too long ago that he is in some sort of a mental hospital now and has totally lost his mind. And I thought, my goodness, this guy had so much going for him. He was a son of a owner of a professional football team, and the sky was the limit for this guy. I remember a time when he was he'd gone on a ski trip, and he drunk too much, and he left with some people he probably shouldn't have left the bar with. He didn't know them, and they ended up stealing his money and left him on the side of the road with no coat. And he was wandering across a field in waist-high snow. Likely would have died of hypothermia, but a police officer just happened to see him wandering across this field and rescued him. And actually, he put him in jail for trespassing on railroad property, but the man actually saved his life. And I think, what a demonstration of God's love, that he should have died out there that night, out there in the cold, out in the snow, when he was wading across waist-deep snow, going through a field. He didn't know where he was. And God's mercy, and his hand was upon him. And yet, there wasn't a place of thankfulness just to say, "God, I just give you all of me. Just set me free, deliver me from all of my afflictions." And God, if we come to him in a grateful heart, he in no wise will cast us out. He will embrace us, because he wants to. He has great plans that he wants to launch us in. And yet, we are sitting back in our life, licking our wounds, and just more focused on our hurts and our pains of people that done us wrong, rather than being thankful for all the things that have gone right in our life. And I just know that all of us will find a key to our past if we'll find thankfulness in our heart and gratefulness in our heart, and just release those people that have done us wrong by forgiving, and there will be a new future that opens up. I just am amazed at what God has done in my life in the last year. And just all the things that he's done to bring us where he's put us in a new place. I found a gratefulness for everything I have now because I was willing to give up what I had in the past, and I had quite a bit to give up. But today I'm thankful for everything I have, even though it's not near what I had before. I realize that only God gives me my next breath. That when I was stripped of everything, I felt like that tree that had been stripped of all of its leaves. And I'm so thankful that I have been transplanted into a new place. And opportunities are just abounding now, like have never happened before. I would never have dreamed of the things that have happened in just even the last 6 months, how God has begun to just give me ideas. And I'm just walking things out now as he's putting things on my heart on a daily basis. You know, the Bible says that not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he that does the will of my Father. And when you think about that, are we really doing the will of our Heavenly Father on a daily basis? Are we even asking him, what should I do today? And I'm really focusing more on like I've never had before. I'm focusing more on the things of what does he want me to do on a daily basis? Am I doing what he wants me to do? If he put somebody on my heart to call and give a word of encouragement, am I too busy to do that? If he shows me something that he wants me to give to somebody, or just anything, are we just too busy in our lives to take a moment and say, I'm going to stop and call this person? You know, there was a man that was standing behind me. I mentioned on another program that there was a man standing behind me in a grocery store line, and the Lord told me to tell him that he would deliver him from alcohol. Well, it was obedience to do that, but what if I was just too busy? I had to leave. I don't have time to talk to somebody. Well, that guy was going to commit suicide that very night, and the words that I spoke to him that night kept him from doing that, and he ended up rededicating his life to the Lord that night. So there's so many things God wants to do with us, and he's looking for obedience in all of us. And a grateful heart is a great place to start in finding a place of obedience in our lives. So I encourage you just to find anything that you can on a daily basis to be thankful for. Thankful for your eyes. Thankful for all of the faculty member things that you can use, all your senses. The fact that you have a sound mind, that you have a home over, a roof over your head, that you have power in your home. If you can just find just anything and as many things that you can to be thankful for, you'll find that your day will be unbelievably blessed. So thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. And we just look forward to the next time we'll talk again. So God bless you now.